Previously on Algoa FM.
On the drive on Algoa FM today, we're chatting to somebody you will recognize the minute you see him, the minute you hear him. You may have seen his stand-up comedy. You may have seen him as a lovable oddball in The Office. You may have seen him as an X-Men-style mutant or even a serial killer. He is the winner of several awards, like the Peabody Award, multiple Golden Globe Awards, BAFTA Awards, even a Primetime Emmy, British Comedy Awards, prolific actor, director, writer, producer even. And today, he's our guest, Stephen Merchant. Welcome to Algoa Country.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction, Roland. Wow, I sound amazing.
Well, via the Zoom link, you look amazing too. I don't know how you do it. When do you sleep?
I don't sleep. I'm in the middle of filming at the moment, and I think I was supposed to speak to you and some other people last week, and I suddenly got pulled away to set because there was a crisis that only I could solve.
Occupational hazard.
Maybe add hero to that list.
I don't doubt it, though. I don't doubt it, because how many people are in this many links of the chain, right the way from just the inception of the idea, chatting around a table, and then right to writing, casting, directing, yes, putting it all together, and then of course performing as well. There's a whole lot that goes into it. I mean, do you feel mildly schizophrenic?
I do, but at the same time, I enjoy all of those jobs in different ways, and even your job. I'm looking at you now with your microphone and your studio there. And, you know, I started in radio. I love radio. I've done radio shows. And even now I'm in the midst of the TV show. I'm enjoying that. And I'm looking at you in your radio booth thinking, oh, going to be great to be on the radio again.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that. I'm glad you mentioned it, because let's rewind a little bit. You've got this incredible body of work that you've put out over time. And I want to just go back to the seeds of it, if that was, in fact, the seed of it. Radio was a big, big part of your start. Talk to me about a time when you were, I don't know, perhaps a student. You'd started in radio and you decided to apply to XFM to work with the then head of speech. Talk to us about that little connection.
Like so many people, I started my radio career in college, as you say, and they had a radio station there and I would do a show. And I was keen to get into radio. I always wanted to do stand-up and writing and all these other things. But I'll be honest with you, what I observed from DJs was they did about 3 hours work a day.
Obviously, aspirational.
And then they had the mornings free and the evenings free, and they just swanned in unshaven and just turned up the radio, probably still hungover. And they could. And so I thought, if I could get into radio as a DJ, I'd have all this other free time to do all this writing and stand-up comedy and all the other things. So I thought, I'll get into radio. And like you said, I sent in this demo tape and a resume to XFM, which is a new radio station in London. And the guy who had just been hired ahead of me was Ricky Gervais. And he called me in for an interview. And he said, listen, I've never done radio before. I don't know what I'm doing. I've sort of sweet-talked my way in. You seem to have had some radio experience. If you do the job for me, I'll make sure we have fun. And sure enough, he was true to his word. We had a lot of fun before it became very clear we were going to get fired. And so by that time, we got to know each other. And, you know, one thing led to another. We ended up making The Office. And then so in a roundabout way, I got to end up doing comedy and acting and sitcoms and things from my radio background.
Well, obviously a great meeting of minds there, yourself and Ricky Gervais. Also, apparently through the radio channels as well, Carl Pilkington.
Carl Pilkington is a guy we met through radio, and he was just supposed to be pressing the buttons for us. And then we started asking him questions, and he would just, I remember he said something early on like, what are those things in the movie Gremlins called? Well, they're called Gremlins, Carl. That's the who's in the title. And I remember he was telling a story one time, and he said, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the neighbors had a horse that lived in the house. But anyway, and we went, wait, there's a horse that lived in the house? But in his mind, that wasn't even the story. That was just a passing detail. And so he just was full of these amazing, weird anecdotes and views on life. And he became this just great resource for us to probe his brain and see what came out.
Well, let's fast forward. I mean, there are stories like that all along your journey, I'm sure. Let's fast forward to when we get to this fantastic series. It's on BritBox South Africa at the moment. The first season, amazing. It's called The Outlaws. Where did it start in terms of the writing? And I want to fast forward from the time that you kind of got together and went, right, this is a great idea, to how you end up with the cast you did, specifically characters like Christopher Walken, perhaps.
Well, I grew up in a small town called Bristol in the UK, and my mum was involved with community service. Now, I'm sure it's the same the world over. people do crimes like drink driving or maybe some minor weed dealing or something. And anyway, they don't send them to prison. They make them pick up garbage on the side of the freeway, or they make them paint a shed or something. And my mother was involved with that, supervising people. And she would talk about the different kinds of people that would come through the door, including a guy I went to school with, Tom, who was the world's laziest criminal. She told me one time, she said, "Why are you back, Tom, doing community service?" He said, "Well, I got caught stealing a TV. And the homeowners came back and they said, 'Tom, what are you doing?' And I said, 'I'm not Tom.' And they said, 'Yes, you are. You live next door.' He was stealing his next door neighbor's TV. And he would come through the doors. There was an old man. Anyway, she would tell me these people. And I thought, what a great backdrop for a show. You know, you're always looking for groups of people in TV that wouldn't normally meet, that you can kind of bump up against each other and get the sparks flying and the humor going. And I always thought that was an interesting backdrop. And so later down the road, I got the opportunity to sort of develop that as an idea. And when it came to casting, I wanted a really eclectic bunch. And I needed a sort of intriguing, slightly mysterious American guy. And we ended up with Christopher Walken. I mean, what can you... The idea, if you had asked my young self in Bristol that one day I would take Christopher Walken to my hometown and that we would end up filming... a show based loosely on my mum's life. I wouldn't have believed it.
And direct the first episode, by the way. You're directing Christopher Walken in your hometown.
Oh, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, at one point, we got to take him to Stonehenge. I got to go to Christopher Walken to Stonehenge.
What a
weird day that was.
I was going to say, in a life where you've worked with characters like Carl Pilkington, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah, this was even weirder.
Well, let's get into the plot very quickly for someone who hasn't seen it. So can I summarize my experience very, very quickly? You're walking down the street, you look into a yard, you see a couple of neighbors chatting, they're having a very animated conversation, it's a lot of fun, and you kind of listen in, and as you lean in, a sort of hand grips you by the scruff of the neck and puts you on a roller coaster, and you're on for the ride, and there's action, and there's a terror, and there's all these things. It's not just a nice little comedy outing, is it?
I appreciate you saying that, because that was always the ambition, was that we wanted it to sort of lure you in slightly. You thought it was one kind of show, then it becomes more of it becomes something else. There's a thriller aspect. Hopefully there's also some lot of character stuff. You get to know these characters. On the surface, they almost seem like stereotypes, but then you've got to peel back the layers. You see what makes them tick. I hope there's humor. I hope there's kind of there's some sweetness. There's some drama. I feel like I'm hoping it's a real mixed bag of different flavors, because that's kind of what I like from TV. I like things that are pressing all kinds of buttons that are never quite one thing. And so I appreciate that review, because that's certainly what our aim was.
Now let's talk about the characters themselves. Just a very quick summary for the folks who don't know. It's, as you were saying, community service in Bristol. These characters get together. Just talk us through the basic plot. So I'm about to switch on The Outlaws on BritBox, and I'm about to watch. What am I getting into?
Well, as you mentioned, it's seven very distinct characters from different walks of life. We have Lady Gabby, who's, you know, an aristocrat, but she's a drinker and a drug user. She's a sort of it girl Instagram person who's a little bit famous, but is always getting into trouble. And if she's at one extreme, we've got sort of a kid from the tough side of the tracks who's there for different reasons. We've got a kind of a schoolgirl who should be off to study at Oxford University with a scholarship, but instead she's been doing some petty theft. And then there's a number of other characters, including me as a sort of slightly hapless lawyer who got caught with what I'm going to term a lady of the night. So yes, it's a very unusual mix of people. They would not normally encounter each other in any other walk of life, but because of these circumstances, they're thrust together. And what they don't realize is that behind the scenes, there's a kind of crime plot brewing that's going to suck them all into it, and it's going to impact their lives. So I hope there's characters that you can relate to, there's characters that perhaps you wouldn't necessarily like if you met them in real life, but hopefully you get to understand and empathize with as the show goes on.
And like you said, it becomes this dangerous thing where the stakes get higher and higher. In the beginning, it's just community service. Oh, how am I going to make my hours? And then, I mean, I think without being too much of a spoiler, we can let everyone know this. There's a bag of cash that comes into play. And just talk us through how that impacts, the discovery of this impacts this dynamic in the group.
They find a big bag of money that's hidden away in the building that they're renovating. And as you say, when you find a big bag of money somewhere and you don't report it to the police, trouble's coming your way. Every movie you've seen where someone finds a big bag of money or a suitcase of cash, it doesn't end well for them. So sure enough, it doesn't end well for these guys, and it just it sucks them into a world of gangs and crime and but I always wanted to do a crime story. It seemed like an interesting way, and it's not about cops and robbers. It's about just ordinary people who make some bad decisions, and then the wheels of their life start coming off. So that's sort of series one, and then as we get to series two, well, whatever things they think they've resolved in series one, it turns out they haven't really, and then we just turn the heat up even more. And it gets even sweatier and even tougher for them. And at the moment, we're shooting season three, and now they're really in trouble.
Well, that's good news. I was about to ask you about that. So season three is on the way. Season two is on the way this month, isn't it?
That's right. Yes, 20th of July, season two. And then, like I say, we're hard at work on season three at the moment. So there's plenty of sort of, if you enjoy, you know, there's nothing worse than sitting down to watch a show, you're enjoying it, and then it says, oh, no, that's it, there's no more, and there's all these loose ends unresolved. There's plenty more kind of juice that we are extracting from this particular orange. Is that an analogy that works?
Absolutely.
You can see why I never made it in radio.
You should try writing with that kind of metaphorical skill, I tell you. Let's talk about season two, though. So season one, it sort of puts them up. They get drawn into the gang world. Season two, just very quickly, what can we look forward to there?
When I first started writing, someone said to me, in series one, you should chase your characters up a tree. And in series two, you should throw rocks at them. And so here we are, series two, we're throwing rocks at them metaphorically. We are really turning the heat up. There's a crime boss. Now they were loosely involved with crime in the series one. This time they sort of have to become crime lords themselves to get themselves out of a sticky situation. So yeah, like I say, hopefully all the threats and the pressure are dialed up, but also hopefully there's the humor, the character stuff, the relationships that hopefully you've got to enjoy in series one. We sort of lean into them. We see how these characters continue to develop. I'm very proud of the show because I think there's a lot of meat on the bone. You know what I mean? It's funny one minute, it's tense the next. I think it's quite a mix of different things.
I like the way you describe it, and I look forward to season three. I think if you chase them up a tree in season two, what are you doing? Cutting down the tree in season three?
We're cutting the tree down. Yeah, that's right. Cutting the tree down.
Stephen Merchant, all the best with The Outlaw season three as you're busy in the manufacture and the production thereof right now. And we look forward to seeing season two, like you said, 20 July on BritBox South Africa. Can't wait to see it, and all the best with what's coming from you and from, you know, your co-writers and all these interesting characters you seem to collect along your way.
Thank you so much, Roland. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.